do workshops with Starry Broad PE, who have been a massive, massive inspiration to all of us at Project X. So Project X is about platforming and celebrating the dances of the African diaspora in Scotland. We work with a really diverse, really, really talented group of artists that come to us from lots of different places and different styles of dancing. And through Project X, we're really trying to change the conversations around the dances of the African diaspora in Scotland, and we're working towards a better representation within the performing arts. So as part of ARICA, we've been really, really honoured to have the opportunity for our associate artists to do a workshop with Starry Broad PE, who is the king of street dance and the king of mutation, and a massive, massive inspiration to all of us. So today, we're just going to be kind of having a conversation between the different dance styles. So I'll just do some introductions. I had Starry Broad PE, who's, yeah, doesn't need very much. Our Project X associate artist, so this is Melly Brooms. For the audience to give us comments, questions, just to engage with what's happening, and then we're going to go on to the next song, and it's going to kind of bounce between tracks that have been chosen by Starry and tracks that have been chosen by Melly, Clarissa and William. And it's an informal event, and it's kind of just to get the conversation going around moving what it is to speak through your body. So I'll pass over to the dance. Thank you.
Inside. understand you like that I jump.
Everybody around me is losing people that's close to them, and it's just a lot of pressure when you're an artist, I guess. And I'm pacing myself because we got a lot of songs, and I'm kind of in a rock star position right now. So no rush, you know. Body language is not about just doing moves and trying to impress, and I'm not looking for no validation of it. If no one liked what I did at all to the songs, I could care less. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to connect and channel something from a higher power to help heal some things that I'm going through right now. So, and connect to these dancers that I just met, you know? That's cool. And we had a nice workshop. Yeah, I mean, we should get into the next song. I dedicate this performance to one of my friends, Chilla. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't really feel anything right now.
Yeah, I think that you know, when we did your workshop, something that came out of it was about, like, not just moving, not just doing the step. So right now we're at the beginning of the conversation, so we allow that to resonate, and when we're ready, it will come.
Thank you.
question and then we can...
Sorry, story. We were talking the other day. I wondered if you could tell me about how to how dance is an animation of tarot cards and how you do that with presents.
Peripheral, seeing where everyone is, what vibration they are, what frequency you're on, and not being selfish, wanting to show the best move. But fitting in the synergy. I'm a shapeshifter with music, so once I go into a posture, I can sit in it and just kind of loop it and ride it. So it has some type of motif there. It's some literature there. And I'm feeding off of them too. And I mean, that's what street dance is about. It's about feeding off of everybody around you and fitting in where you could and then standing out where you could at the same time. So, does that help answer a little bit?
Yeah. Is it like we were talking the other day about the difference between us? We were talking the other day about the difference between like a series of moves and like the presence between moves or something. Is that what you mean by like sitting in a pocket?
Yeah, because sometimes what I learned about music is like in your body is responding, you're responding, you're feeling away, and if you go against what you're feeling to create a placeholder of emotions, the dance is probably not going to do good. So that's where I stay with it, you know? I just try to stay in the pocket of what I'm feeling and how I'm naturally moving, pretty much, you know? Does that help?
Yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah, one of the things in the workshop that we talked about was like, you were kind of talking about cinematic and filming and like freeze framing, so that instead of just like going like this, it was thinking about the whole journey from here to here, and I think like today in this exploration, what it made me think about is like every step or every movement I take, like where's that energy coming from? And in the workshop, you said like just going like this, but when it's come like you're actually speaking for real, this action then becomes really animated and really clear, rather than just like the hand is just
more
there.
Intentional.
Yeah, so it would be nice to hear. To share like what you said, how you described like movement and
sure.
Freeze frame.
So it's like you have dance where it's ready vocabulary. Like people kind of know dance is like extensions and different things, and then you know you got plies and all the different things and fluidity and all of that. But what I like to tend to do, I can play with that and I can move that way, but I like to put a certain thing to it. And I didn't really show y'all that yet. But it's important to let your body warm up and kind of like ease your way into it. But yeah, I like playing with time lapse and different effects and different things. And It comes out naturally, and versus forcing it out and trying, like I said, trying to get the validation from you guys, I would rather enjoy you guys being quiet, trying to figure out what's going on, or feeling through it, you know? Does that make sense? Somewhat? Yeah, so I mean, I'm really just feeding off of them, and like their mechanics, the way that they move, is very tribal. So I'm just sort of like falling into that mode for a second, and then when my selection comes back on, I'm probably gonna just drill it.
like fun.
I think it was fun, man. But,
and how much y'all fools got back there?
Man, I'm not gonna make this up, y'all. Watch this video. Cook that shit up, boy. Baby. Go back. That's my dog.
So, yeah, so each song, you know, like, I put that song, that's Lil Baby. His new rapper, he not really new, but he deal with, like, Migos and QC and some of these hustlers that if I was a dancer, I would want them to throw all the money in the ground and put the bag down for me to dance to this song. That's what I be working for. So I could dance to one song, get 100,000 real quick. Like, let me get the bag. Boom. That's what I be doing as a dancer. And that's how street dance is. You connect on Instagram, different places. You set up your business with them. You pull up on them. Pretty much. So I love the way that he just broke the song down and brought it to life. And I appreciate that. I throw the two C's up for Chinchilla, for my homie. And I take him to the grave, and then I throw the hearts up. And then keep it moving. You know, you show your love, you keep it moving. So that's really my approach with that record. You know, and I'm curious to hear what the next selection is. I don't know. Any questions? How y'all feeling? Y'all into it a little bit? It's boring. Is it boring? Y'all keep it, honey, with me. Is it boring? No? No? Y'all like it? Oh, not yet? Not yet? Yeah, oh, more? Okay. All right, cool.
The Cinema Dude, here, Friday, by Hutch, about the good friend, the truth. This is how I get a party, the truth. In my mind, I sum up our party, the truth. Sum up our party. A one, a two, a three, a four. Thank you.
I'd like to start with a question.
Constant promo, look. I told you she'd go in, right?
I wanted to start with a question, and this question is for William. So in the workshop, Starry, you were talking about not getting lost in the music, like not completely going into the music and always like finding a way to float between it. And William, you said that this song was a challenge for you because this was one that you definitely can get lost into. So how was it? Did you succeed with your challenge?
Probably not. No, this song means a lot to me because I used to dance with a girl called Nicola, and normally we've done performances in Breaking Convention and Just Jam down in Newcastle, and 9 times out of 10, we don't choose the music. We just be chilling, having a good time as friends, and we just hear music, and we both start writing, and this one was the same. I mean, I'm from Ghana originally. This song is also from Ghana, and when I hear it, like it reminds me so much of my childhood and friends, and it just means a lot to me, you know. So I always get lost in it, always. Yeah, that's it.
You're the star right now. Listen. If I hear African music, we all African. The Caucasian people is African too. No front. All right? We know y'all, we know. So, I hear it's like a party, you know. I started off on dancehall reggae. So it's easy for me to do the little, I got a little fat though, I eat a lot of pasta. You know, so I'm trying to trim back down, and you know they working me out and stuff. I applaud y'all.
Storyboard P's here, so any questions? Because he's come from Brooklyn and we're in Glasgow, and I'm confused.
Hi.
Story.
Right. I would like to know if, when you dance, you have any visuals of yourself, whether it's like per song or just what goes through your mind visually.
Directed towards me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, everyone, really.
I mean, I would say millions of pictures now. Like, things from my childhood, when I had dirty erasers, kids used to pick on me. Like, little things, you know, and it has a certain emotion to it. So, the motion gives you a texture. You know, the little smallest things, you can just kind of move your thumb, and it has that, like, motion picture type of thing that you naturally go through, you know? And your eyes pick up 48 frames, 24 frames a second, two eyes, so it's 48 pockets, pictures, and persistence of vision blurs it all together. So what I tend to do is just go off emotion when I'm feeling, and whatever is in my head, and it's all improv, no choreo. And everybody is pretty much doing the same thing, you know? And give it up for the sign language. Like every time, yo, it's so crazy. Listen, I gotta say this. Listen, man, the sign language definitely was an inspiration for me. When I was in sixth grade, sign language was a big thing. So when I hear music, I try to break the music down into like signs and gestures and stuff, like a game of charades almost. Does that help answer the question somewhat? Right.
Yeah, so like, is it slow motion, or like, can you like go into more depth about like what inspires you in this like motion picture?
Like, what's some inspirations? Like, you want to know like an inspiration?
Yeah.
Okay, it was an animation king, Ray Harryhausen. He used to do like Clash of the Titans and Sinbad and the Seventh Voyage. And they have the skeletons that are moving like, you know, like, that sort of type of thing. And then you got the goose that move like. So when I turn the pictures on, it gets a little, you know, but I don't always do that because when you're playing with those rates, your body, it goes into Charlie Horse mode. You know, but like Ray Harryhausen's inspiration, definitely. You know, I used to love watching like Jimi Hendrix and Prince play the guitar and Kenny G. Certain people, when they play the guitar, they could be moving, but for some reason they're still fixed here. So I took that as a placeholder for some of my illusions. And I hide my guitar. I was telling this in the workshop. I have this invisible guitar, right? It's like one of my friends. And the guitar gives me the music, and I don't feel the music. The guitar gives me the music, and then I translate the guitar. Because I don't like just taking in the music, because I told them in workshop that it can possess you, and it can take you over. It could consume you. Any music. It could be anything. So I try to put a defense in my aura for music, and that's how I became a mutant, a channeler. I call myself a mutant. Who's familiar with Marvel Comics? Okay, so my superpower is telling stories through pictures. So you guys are getting the motion of it, but there's so many different pictures that's happening, innuendoly, that's building and crescendoing. Does that make sense? Yeah? Somewhat? Yeah! 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 Which side is louder? I want to hear which side. Okay, so give it up for the sign language. Yo, it's like she caught everything. Yo, listen. She translated some of the she, look, I'm pointing up. I'm pointing down. Okay. He called me a penis. Okay, look, I'm past the
We used to have long days and very long nights. We used to have bright rooms.
our family when things happen to them, and our friends. So, you know, no tears, none of that. I cried yesterday. I got that out of my system. Now is to continue the art. I paid my homage. It's time to keep it moving. I want to thank Project X for even dancing to that song. I try to get all my friends, so-called friends, so-called, that have been dancing all their years when we was in parties, and when I got my career together, after I was homeless, this, had gangrene in my leg, had this injury, that, nobody wanna dance to this song. I gotta come all the way to Scotland for somebody to dance to it. Crazy, right? What kind of support is that? That's the concrete jungle, y'all. Crazy. So I want to thank y'all again.
I don't know why you're passing it to me.
I've already got two. I can't take another. She's like,
oh. Were there any questions from the audience? Any? I have one question, maybe, in the meantime. I think you mentioned at the end of the last song, your aura, and that was something that you talked about quite a lot in the workshop. Maybe could you tell us a little bit of like the importance of your own aura and also the aura of other people when you're dancing like in response to other people?
Oh, for sure. Gracias. Sorry, Panama. Anyway, so your aura is important because when you dancing, you going into moves, it's not really use your aura. It's your connection to what that other existence that controls all of this. You know what I mean? So if you get too stuck with the moves in your body and everything, you're not going to feel what is already there for you. It's like you're opening a plate of food and you even know it was home. And somebody brought it and you like, who brought it? You don't know. It's like that. You know what I mean? And that's how food for thought is. So pretty much, my aura for that song was more of like a morning type of energy. But you know, when we mourn, we rise. So that's pretty much the energy. And some of the grooves and the pockets they was getting in, it reminds me of Crump. It kind of reminds me of like African. It's like tribal. So your aura, someone's around you moving, doing what they doing, it allows you to like kind of like tap into them on a telepathic level. And that's why I don't believe in choreography, because choreography is a way of people infiltrating a language and creating an institution of a dialect that is sacred. You know, like nonverbal communication is sacred. You know, and it comes before verbal. So pretty much what I'm saying is, I don't believe in choreography. You got the menstrual shows, you got the blackface, you got different things. I don't support that. So I don't do choreo. So that has a lot to do with my aura and how I relate to people around me when they're doing what they're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Someone, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Thank
okay.
you. I think there's one question over here. Is that?
Thank you. Hello. I just want to say thank you so much for bringing in your experiences of grief and loss and sharing with them in your body and also sharing them with us.
De nada.
And I really felt through watching all of you moving together also like processes of moving through grief or speaking to people who are not here anymore. And I just wanted to say thank you. And if you want to say something about that, I invite you, but you don't have to.
Okay, gracias, gracias. De nada, de nada. Okay. Like, see me, it's always stuff going on where I'm from, right? Like family members passing, people doing things to you that you don't like, like people that you thought was your friends kind of like turn on you for like a moment. Like, you might go on a gig or something and they don't like how you carrying yourself, but you might know the business better than them and they might be more of a novice. So they might do certain things to you. All this, it kind of affects the way you deliver things as an artist also, because things be bottled in and sometimes you don't even know it's there. So this is the first show though that I honestly dedicated to anybody. Like, I never dedicated any verses to anyone because I never felt like anybody was that close to me to dedicate a verse to, you know what I mean? And if I do dedicate things, it's in videos that will come out online and stuff like that. But I guess this feeling of dancing through grief, I'm used to it, but this is a different type of level because a lot of my art is centered around my relationships with people and their machines and their avenues conjoining with mine. So if someone is missing off the board, it's almost like I have to reconfigure my whole entire life almost and everything that I'm creating. So Free Moolah is a campaign, a project I'm working on. And one is with Moolah Gang and with Free Bands. And it's been 2 years probably stringing it together, probably a decade wanting to do a visual mixtape with dancing. So being that they're dancing to these songs, it serves as a tape already. So it's like I'm killing multiple birds with one stone. And I'm thankful for that. That's why I keep, you know, thanking them, because it's allowing me to just move through this and get over the fact that a lot of my friends and people that support me back at home, so-called support me, have not even stepped up to dance in one video or two videos or three, you know? And that's pretty hurtful, you know, being that I'm like a star, you know? Like, I feel like, oh, people want to dance in my video. If they dance, you know, it makes sense. Does that make sense? To some degree, right? Okay, so I'm kind of venting to you guys too. And yeah, so I don't know, like my brand, one of my brands is called Cocaine Ballet. Narcotic Ballet. And it's not glorifying cocaine, it's metaphoring the struggle of moving through environments that are glorifying certain things. And moving through those environments and maybe having family members who did certain things that I told them in the workshop that plants you in the system in a certain positioning. And it's almost like you have to mastermind and reverse engineer your escape out of the situation. Minus help and getting little support and help. Does that make sense? Somewhat? So I pick certain music to try to tap into certain frequencies that make me feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, okay, like, I'm kind of like addressing certain things that's bothering me. Like, I have a cousin who's in the feds. He's doing fed time. Like, he's on America's Most Wanted. He's a big kingpin. You feel me? Like, growing up seeing certain things and then come back to the neighborhood not having nothing. Like, it's kind of like destructive not seeing my family around certain things. So just putting it out there, you know, kind of like the influences and inspiration behind some of the street music, per se. Does that make sense? Did that help you? Somewhat? Okay.
I just was thinking about what you're saying about trauma, and I think maybe Clarissa, you have something similar from like a work in progress that you did a few, like last month, I think it was. And yeah, trauma's like, I think as a dancer or even as a black dancer, like figuring out how to channel my trauma and what that is, like the trauma that is happening right now, the trauma, my past trauma and my historic ancestral trauma. And when that sort of like unlocks and you start to understand more of your journey of getting here today, your dance changes, your vocabulary changes. And I was during the workshop, I was trying to use some of these like mechanics to have a more like real way of channeling my trauma within my physicality. I just was thinking of Clarissa because your work that you did before was talking about like holding like memories or pockets of memory, and I was just wondering if you want to share that.
Hello. I guess I think of like the body as like being able to say things that words can't, because words come after, right? So like we're born and we don't start to speak until we're whatever age. And I didn't start to speak till I was like, could string a full sentence together, apparently. So I think of like all the movements that we learn as like inherited through the bodies that we have come from, and like the things that they hold, and then the things that you go through, and then like trauma that you might go through. It's all held in here, and then it's not till you get to a space like this when you're just dancing, and it's not about doing choreo, or like it's just about being there with the music, and then that just comes. So your body's gonna say it for you, so you don't have to like try and say something. Or that's kind of, yeah, sometimes what.
Sometimes yeah. You don't have to explain, you know.
Yeah.
Move it.
Yeah. And I just want to say thank you, Story, for like sharing the space with us tonight after yesterday, and like what you're going through today is like, I'm grateful that you want to share the space with us, so thank you.
Give me some trouble. anything about that track. That was something else. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when I kind of work in the studio or whatever and just working on kind of working out how I make work this year. So I do a lot of like Spotify, radio, and Discover and stuff. So when I'm out and about and I just like save certain songs, if I'm like, oh, that's interesting, I just save it and put it in the playlist. So tonight they're like, oh, pick a song. And I found it really hard, but then I remembered I had this one song that I hadn't really done much to, but I just had it sitting there and I don't only listen to it like once. And it's something that we learned about story is that often you don't like listen to a track before you perform something to it, like with Jay-Z, the track, you just like came in and hadn't listened to it because it's like about, it's more fresh or something about like the liveness of the space that you kind of come into when you move to a new track. So that's why I picked this track, because for me it was like almost as unexpected what was going to happen as to the people who didn't know it either. So, yeah.
Are there any questions from the audience?
Grazie.
Bam!
Hi. Hi. Sorry. I just wondered like, how you feel the next day after putting so much energy into this. Do you feel release or are you tired?
Do I answer that first? Okay. I'm a little silly, so don't mind me. That's how I get my energy. I ping pong off the audience. Like after we dance to a song, I dance to a song, it's not really a relief, it's more like a revelation. It's like, oh, I could do that. I can, I am. Sort of like a knowing. And from there, I just keep working. Cause if you think you at the ceiling and you have that ceiling, it's over for you. You might as well just lay down and die, like, cause you ain't gonna create the way you should at your optimum. So that's one thing for me, and I'm gonna pass the mic that everybody got their own.
I think for me, besides the emotions and the feeling that I feel toward the song and dancing to it, besides that, it's just pure adrenaline. I'll probably feel it tomorrow, but for now, I can't feel a thing. You could stab me and I'll probably stay alive till tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, I guess tomorrow, I don't know. It's like after, it's like I danced for maybe 2 hours or more last night at the party. So it's really good. So sometimes like I really need it. Like after dancing at, like for ages, you like feel that release the next day. But sometimes I just feel new things, like new things have come up or I like notice things that are maybe like unsettling or just different or new, or I think about something in a different way, so it always depends for me.
It's kind of a big question, but I'll just try to focus it. I think if I haven't moved, like if I'm not exploring in my body for a bit, and then I move and really, really move or get into my body, then I feel a bit more alive. Like, but sometimes I unlock things that like make me doubt my environment and people, which is also sometimes problematic to continue a day, but also really interesting to come to a realization of my surroundings and the people that exist within it.
I think there was one question over here.
Hi, how's it going, man? Welcome to Scotland, mate. It's good to see you here, man. Just to share a memory as well. About 4 years ago, I was in Brooklyn with my good wife here. And this man in a Michael Jackson sparkly jacket walks past, and I'm like, that's fucking storyboard. So I was like, storyboard. And then you turned round, and we had this very interesting chat on the subway about dimensions. I think so. And then, then the next day, we went down this alleyway in, off Fulton Street in Brooklyn. And you were doing this video, and it never kind of got aired. But like, we jumped out a Mercedes roof. Do you remember this? Right. Okay. Right. It was a very strange day. I often think to myself, did that actually happen? And then I tell people, and they're like, nah, that never happened. So anyway, so I just want, I'd really love to open up some sort of dialogue. Did that happen? No, for real. So like, something I always wrestle with as a dancer is these kind of like opposing ideas of like, dance is so culturally represented, and we display our culture and our meanings, and you spoke a lot about that, this idea of you want to represent something in your mind, and when you dance you have this blockage, so the drug of the music doesn't control your brain. And that mindfulness in your dance, but I also feel that there's this aspect of what they call like zoning out or bugging out. And I think that was the kind of dialogue we were having before. And you were talking about how you can tap into other dimensions through not being mindful. And I would just like to, and I feel like you guys are doing that anyway, and you're in this kind of constant battle, but I would love to hear your dialogue on it, as well as allow you to share some similar dialogue we had 4 years ago. If it happened.
Y'all like that song, right? Okay. You want me to elaborate about dimensions? Okay, look. Limp. With. Height. Right. Buoyancy. Right? Those are physical dimensions, right? But say your vibration is low one day. You don't eat, or you get laid off your job. The way you start viewing the day naturally changes, you know? And when you're dancing or moving, even when you're dancing and you're in a melee, I say melee, almost like a close range type of motion, like in this pocket, and then you can go outer. Then you have these sort of lower pockets when you get down here. And I guess where your spot in your body and your spine and your macabre, in order to pull it off, is coming from a different mental space in a way. It's almost like you gotta like condition yourself mentally. But dimensions is real though. You know, some people smoke and get certain places, use drugs. Some people meditate to get to certain dimensions and planes. Astrally, when they leave their body. Some people do yoga. Some people just quiet, you know, and they get to certain dimensions. Me, I like staying in like the 15th, 16th frequency dimension. Like, I like going to different dimensions. And when you go there, you meet different people. You know, once you tap into certain frequencies, and it may sound crazy even what I'm saying to you guys, I don't know how spiritual the crowd is. But for me, I've seen a lot of interesting things, and I will come back to the third dimension with them. And I guess that inspires some of the moves too. Like, sometimes it's aliens and like creatures and like entities. And like things that are around you that are invisible. It's like the unseen. And it's always there. It's not that it's not there. You have to like kind of like tap into it. From like your pineal and your third eye. You know what I mean? It's not for people that don't have faith. Some things you can see when you lose faith. Some places you get there quicker when you lose faith. And then I mean, that's some of it. Does that help you a little? Somewhat?
I
think maybe while we're in the dimensions, it's 9:30, so maybe we'll do the last song and finish on the last. Okay.
Just enough to make it real fun.
I'll ask them afterwards. Okay.
Rub that fucking man.
Song, right? Because it's talking about social injustice, right? But half of the time when people hear Future, they only hear the negativity. But what about the message? That's it.
Thank you, Story. Also, please follow us
house at Project X. Here, show your top. X. X Dance. On Facebook and Insta and Twitter. Thank you.
Yeah, so let me tell you. Look, I got a project, Dirty Sprite Dancing, right? So Future got Project Dirty Sprite, do Dirty Sprite Dancing, and now I got Dirty Sprite Language because the sign language people agreed to do a project with me for Africa Dance. How y'all feel about that? Featuring the three-step from Marcy DePina. Listen, she got this three-step from Cabo Verde, right? Listen, it's so crazy. I've been trying to get it for like 3 years already. Could you please show them the three-step? Could you please go right here? Do 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 do. There we go. Show the three steps. Show the three. Tell them about that three step.
What about it? It comes from Cabo Verde. That's where my family is from. Cape Verdeans use music and dance for everything, whether it's cleaning the house or getting into an argument, or it could be learning something. Up until the 1970s, the country was about 70% illiterate in the sense that people didn't write. So communication as we know it was not something that was a reality for Cape Verdeans. So when the revolution happened and we were one of the last African countries to get our freedom, it was won through music. The revolutionary message was spread throughout the Nine Islands, very complicated, through music and dance. It was through a style called Batuku, which is a drumming style, but it's also a dance. And they did that because they didn't want the colonizers to understand what was going on. So, in order to actually really talk about what was happening, they did it in codes. So, it was really easy for me to understand story because we speak the same language. And what I'd like to say is that knowing him, obviously, very well, and meeting all of you fine people, it was really beautiful to see the power of the art, not to just transform, but to actually transmute, which is a different thing. It's one thing to take something and turn it into another thing. It's another thing to take it and actually completely change it from dark to light, to transmute it, and to completely be able to revolutionize or evolve from that. And so what I witnessed amongst these folks, just meeting each other yesterday, not knowing each other, and I know, you know, a lot of people that he works with. It's true, he struggles to get people to work with him, which is crazy. Like, who wouldn't want to dance with this man? You know, seeing all of you embrace him and embrace his work, not because he's talented, but because you actually spoke the same language. And you guys were able to come into a space together and then seeing that come alive today in a way where there was this exchange that transmuted what he was going through today, that transmuted something that was really deep and painful, but he was able to actually transmute that and then give you guys all back love, and you guys all shared love with each other, and then that love was shared with us, the audience. So that's not really what the three-step is about, but it kind of is, you know what I mean? So, okay, thank y'all.
Okay, Barry, who to pass it to? Who to pass it to? It's a wrap, y'all. It's a wrap.